This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Tuesday, October 6, 2020 edition of Invest Talk, and we have begun the fourth quarter. Earnings season kicks off next week. And looking back from today's vantage point to where we were just a few months ago, or even just a year ago, right, pre-COVID, there's been a lot of gyrations, and you could say the economy was doing well before, then we had COVID, now we're restarted, and the CARES Act in April, March-April timeframe that was passed certainly got us to where we are today, to some semblance of at least economic normalcy, or stability, shall you say. But it has been a wild ride. And with Election Day less than a month away, we now have more political uncertainty and thus market uncertainty. And the big, I guess, bombshell, you could say, today was that President Trump backed away from negotiations with the House Democrats on another stimulus package. And this caused the market to reverse pretty dramatically. S&P was up 15, 20 points or so, modest up day, and closed down 47 points, which is a more than modest down day, pretty much erasing all of yesterday's gains almost in a blink of an eye. And talked about this, how our economy is now going to be driven by Congress, which is kind of a scary thought, right? Considering how dysfunctional they are, considering how they don't want to give in to the other side, no matter how good of an idea the other side might have. If it's originated by the other side, then it tends to be a bad idea in their eyes. And that makes for it a difficult time coming to an agreement. And you've seen that here right now. Now, both sides don't want to give in because, A, Democrats have an election to win. I mean, both do. But Democrats are even more eager to wrestle power away from President Trump. And they don't want to give in and stimulate the economy going into the last month of the election unless they get their things passed, rightly or wrongly. Once again, I'm a very independent thinker when it comes to politics, and I don't have a horse in the race here. I'm just calling it like I see it, and the market is going to call it like it sees it. The market does not have a political leaning. The market cares about what is, not what should be, because it doesn't have a view on what should happen. You may, your neighbor might, your cousin might, your dad might, but all that doesn't matter. What matters is the CARES Act gave forbearance through September 30th. Well, guess what? It's now October 6th. Forbearance is gone. You're going to start seeing foreclosure notices by mid-month. And you're going to see the problems start to pop up, both in the real economy as well as the financial economy, I guess you could call it, right, with the market. And you know what? Nothing spurs politicians into action more than crisis. They are happy to give away money, to put money out in the system, no matter where it goes, whether it's efficient, effective, or not, in a time of crisis. And that's what the market knows. The market is basically, in my mind right now, about to scare the politicians. About to say, hey, wake up. Unless you do something, there are going to be problems. And that's kind of what you saw at the end of the day today. Now, I'm Justin Klein, and today in this program and podcast, I will do my best to provide unbiased answers to your finance and investment questions. I know you want strategy to help deal with this volatility we are seeing. And I'm here. I'm ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's quickly get to our focus point today, which is 6 retirement planning mistakes to avoid when you're in your 60s. I know we have a lot of listeners out there, pre-retirees, retirees, and hopefully, even if you're not, maybe you're a lot younger, you're going to be there one day, hopefully. So some great lessons there. Also, goal-based planning. Goal-based planning. A lot of people focus a lot on today when making their asset allocation decisions, making their planning. But what's more important is the future, right? Look at your goals in the future and work backwards, and you're going to develop a more effective plan, and we're going to discuss that as well. Also, what would a Biden 401k plan look like? How that might change the way you think about contributions to a 401k, and who it might benefit? Hint, younger or lower income people will benefit more under a Biden plan, whereas higher income people, not as much. Not at all, but not as much. So I think that'll be interesting. Now let's get to our first caller right now at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve and Justin. My name is David. I'm calling from San Luis Obispo. I'm a longtime listener. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to add a healthcare ETF to my portfolio for a long-term hold. I was looking at Vanguard's VHT and would like to know what a good entry point might be. And what overall percentage would you give a healthcare ETF in your portfolio? Thank you so much for your advice. Really appreciate it. I'll listen for your answer on the podcast. Bye now.
All right, he's looking at VHT, which is the Vanguard Healthcare ETF. And most Vanguard ETFs, the expense ratio is pretty low, about 10 basis points. So you're going to gain access to a broad swath of healthcare companies. From its largest holding is Johnson & Johnson, which is obviously drug, medical devices. Then next is United Health, which is more on the health insurance side. Then you have Pfizer, Merck. They are obviously pharma. Abbott Labs, more the medical devices, etc. Thermo Fisher Scientific is the sixth largest holding in this fund that sells lab equipment for research and development, typically. So there's companies all over the board here. A lot of them are very good. It's one of the most profitable areas of the market. Near term, I don't love it. But long term, not a bad hold. I would say, depending on your risk strategy, risk profile, somewhere in the 10 to 15% range of your overall portfolio is not that crazy over the long, long term. But I would wait on a better entry, and that would be somewhere around the 150 level. Now we're at 204. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. And for investors, you need to remain vigilant. There's a lot of crosswinds that are creating volatility and affecting your psyche. So you need to be able to manage your fear and greed, because that practice can make you a better investor. It will make you a better investor if you can manage it. And that's very important. A lot of investors can't. Let's talk about that. And your participation is an important part of the mix. So we're taking your calls live at 888-99-CHART.
You are listening to Invest Talk. What a difference a year makes. A pandemic, financial shutdown, and market volatility. You've got finance and investment questions, and Justin Klein is here now taking your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin, thanks for taking my call. I kind of have a scenario for you. Say I have a stock. I'm down about 500 on it, say the short-term capital gain. Overall in the year, I'm up about, say, let's say 700 on a short-term capital gain. If I were to sell this stock and buy it back to take the loss of 500, would that kind of even me out or lower me at the end of the year so my short-term capital gains isn't as high? And then I can just rebuy the stock afterwards and hold it because I like it and I do want to get my money back on it. Thank you for taking the question and hope to hear back. Take care.
All right. Well, what you're talking about is something that used to be legal, but decades ago, the IRS realized that was a way to avoid taxes, right? You could constantly do that forever. You just take some capital losses and boom, you're never going to have to pay any capital gains because you can just buy it back, book the losses, and still be long that particular stock. And so what they instituted was the wash rule, meaning if you buy the stock back within 30 days, you cannot take that capital loss. Okay? So you can do that, but you need to wait 31 days before you actually buy it back. Now, a lot of times you don't know what's going to stock. The stock could go up a bunch in that 30 days and you lost out on it. Lost out on that upside. Certainly can happen. Now, one strategy is to buy something similar, right? So say, for example, you like the oil space and you bought Chevron. You think that was the best company and you have a loss, right? A lot of people are going to have that in oil space right now. You want to take those losses. But you don't want to reduce your exposure to the oil space because you think it's a good time to own it. Well, you could sell Chevron and you buy Exxon, right? They're going to be fairly well correlated, very similar price movement. And then 30 days, maybe you switch that back out for Chevron once you get through the wash rule period. That's a strategy that you could implement as well, and a lot of people that do that. So make sure you avoid the wash rule if you are trying to take capital gains. Let's go to James in New York. Capital losses. There we go. Let's go to James in New York. He wants to talk about HFC, Holly Frontier.
So I bought that some time ago in the $40 range. I take a little loss on it, but I bought it for the dividend, so it's holding up. It's harmless. I don't really feel the need to sell it, but do you think that it's worth holding on to? I'm not overweight in the position. It's just kind of hanging in my portfolio and hoping it'll go back up one day.
Yeah. Well, we like Holly Frontier. We've used to own this stock a while ago. Haven't owned it for clients for a while. But we like the business. They're one of the largest independent petroleum refiners in the countries, mainly in the Rockies, mid-continent, Southwest, etc. And long term, we like that business. We like their profitability. We just like their cash flow. And now, recently, obviously, they're doing pretty poorly. But overall, their balance sheet is pretty solid. And this is the type of name that I would like to hold longer term. I would be slowly accumulating shares down here. In fact, it's on my potential buy list for clients. Haven't pulled the trigger yet to get back into it. But, I wouldn't be dumping it, especially down at these levels. It's pretty bargain basement prices at the moment. So, thanks for the call. Now you're listening to InvestTalk. I'm Justin Klein, and as serious investors, we try our best to manage our fear and greed because that practice makes us better investors, and we should talk about how we can help you do that. I can help you, but you have to give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
This is InvestTalk, the radio program and podcast dedicated to helping you achieve financial freedom. You may be a regular listener. You may even have called a few times. But if you've never called What are you waiting for? The phone lines are open, and Steve and Justin would love to hear your questions right now. Call 888-99-CHART.
Now, my focus point today, concerns, six retirement planning mistakes to avoid when you are in your 60s. Now, most people start to seriously consider whether they can retire once they hit about 60 years old. Now, by the age of 67, which is when people born in 1960 or later can fully retire on Social Security, you should probably have about 10 times your final salary saved. That's on average. Now, everyone's a little bit different, right? Some people want to travel a lot, spend a lot. They have expensive hobbies and tastes, and therefore 10 times might be too low. Maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you want to sit back, play with the grandkids, not travel much, and you know, enjoy your time with your family. Maybe 10 times, maybe a little too high. But 84% of U.S. adults expect this crisis to impact their ability to achieve long-term financial security. That's according to Northwestern Mutual. So what are the common mistakes people make in times like this especially? First is not having enough equities. Just because you're in your 60s doesn't necessarily mean you automatically sell all your stocks and buy fixed income assets. A lot of people do that unnecessarily and foolishly. A lot of people put it in a fixed annuity, which can make sense for some people, but has very little or no inflation hedge. Especially in today's world where biotechnology is improving every single day, your money has to last a long time and has to grow with inflation. We know what inflation expectations are doing. They're going higher. So if you're heavily weighted towards too conservative of an allocation, like treasuries, say if you use a bond index ETF, a lot of people do that, right? They buy ag, some bond index. Well, most likely you're heavily weighted towards treasuries, which is fine for stability, but terrible for inflation hedging. Next, spending too much. Now you want to reduce your debt and maximize how long your 401k or IRA contributions will go, right? And so a lot of people don't plan out. They don't map out their spending habits. They just use a hard and fast rule, like, oh, the 4% rule, right? And they don't look at their spending, because remember, that's the most important part, is your spending habits in retirement. Next, ignoring long-term care. Should you look at it? The longer you wait, the more expensive it's going to get. Or maybe you want to self-insure, but that means you need to put money aside for that and account for the medical expenses late in life. Next is not understanding your taxes. Remember, from your 401ks and IRAs, you're going to need to take out RMDs. Now starting at the age of 72, it was 70 and a half, now it's 72, and that income will be taxed. So what should you think about doing? Well, what about a Roth conversion? Managing that. So that, remember, a Roth conversion, once money's in a Roth, you don't have to take money out. That's not subject to your RMDs. But if you wait all the way until your RMDs, you might have huge distributions that put you into a high tax bracket. So you want to talk with your accountant, manage your money into a Roth IRA as much as you can before at lower tax rates, if you can. Maybe you're not, but you have to look at it. What about moving to different states, right? Florida, other income tax-free states would be an interesting one as well. And then lastly, compile a list of all tax documents, social security statements, estate documents, wills, emergency funds, information, all of this. And make sure that people you love, people you care about, spouses, children, cousins, whatever, they have all of it. And you have all of it in case something happens. So those are the six mistakes that many pre-retirees, I call it 60s, you know, most people I think are going to probably work into their 70s, not necessarily because they have to, but because they want to, but do something like Steve. Steve's 68. He's been doing this for 20 years and he does it because he loves it. And I think a lot of people will be doing that as well. Now, on the next Invest Talk, would a new stimulus package produce a sustained market rally? One analyst says historic stimulus package programs can play a role as a rally catalyst under certain conditions. Steve will get to that story tomorrow, but for now, I'm Justin Klein, and I'm ready to take your questions live at 888-99-CHART. If growing an e-commerce business is your focus, you need a platform that's focused on growth. That's where Klaviyo comes in. Klaviyo is the ultimate e-commerce marketing platform for online brands of all kinds and all sizes. Whether you're just getting started or running a well-known brand, it gives you everything you need to send memorable branded emails, text messages, and more, so you can build strong relationships that keep your customers coming back. With flexible automations, powerful insights, and super precise targeting, Klaviyo is a faster way to turn great ideas into great customer experiences. That's why it's trusted by more than 40,000 brands like Living Proof, Huckberry, and 8Sleep. In fact, on average, Klaviyo customers see a 41% increase in overall revenue within 5 months. Klaviyo scales with you, so you never have to switch. They support everything from garage startups to iconic billion-dollar brands. Want to learn more about how you can grow your brand with Klaviyo? Visit klaviyo.com/grow to get started with a free trial today. That's klaviyo.com/grow.
It's an Invest Talk Tuesday. Justin Klein is here today taking your calls live. How's your portfolio doing? Are you prepared for continuing market volatility? You've got questions, so call Invest Talk 888-99-CHART.
All right, now time to go to Jake in Salt Lake City. He wants to talk about money market funds.
Hi, yeah, I just had a question about money market funds. I'm doing some portfolio rebalancing. I noticed there was a 0.38% expense fee. I'm just wondering if there was more direct access to money market that's not through a mutual fund, you know, without expense fees, and if you guys have any preferred money market funds that you guys use.
Well, who's your broker?
Fidelity.
Fidelity, okay. Do you know what the?
I've got.
To me, it's less to do with the. Yeah. Do you know what the yield is on that?
I think it's just 0%. It's just temporary for selling funds and getting into other stocks. So it's just it's real short term.
Yeah, so you're 0.01%. So you're not getting any yield on that, really. You know, the difficult thing is to get it in and out, right? Fidelity is just going, whoever your broker is going to have its own particular money market options. There's usually a couple, two, three that you can choose from. We use TD Ameritrade and they have a couple of options. And so, you know, the ease of getting the money to something like like a Marcus by Goldman Sachs, right? I think they're yielding some around 65 basis points on their money market. So certainly much better than the 1 basis point you're getting on the Fidelity money market account. Are you willing to set that up and go through that process of transferring that money? That's what I would do if I was going to leave the money in there for an extended period of time. And also depends on which money it is. You know, if it's only a couple thousand dollars, and you're only going to hold it for a short period of time, is it really worth that? So, part of your question is, do you want to switch brokers as well? Because there are other brokers that have better yielding money market accounts besides what you're getting over at Fidelity. So, I guess, Jake, my question for you is it enough to go through that hassle? And are you willing to go through that hassle?
Yeah, it's just short term. I'm basically selling off certain assets and then kind of rebalancing it, basically out of a lot of mutual funds and into individual stocks. I've been looking at a lot of researching certain stocks, and I like to get into those and kind of get out of some of the mutual funds with their higher expenses. Kind of looking at all the turmoil in the markets to see, find companies that, big discount that'll hopefully recover in the next 3, 5, 10 years.
What you're looking at is more liquidity. Now, what you could think about doing is parking that money instead of in cash in an ETF, right? Since trading costs are zero, right? And there are some cash alternative ETFs out there that ultra short bond ETFs. So think about those as well. While their expense ratio is probably similar to what you're seeing on the money market account, there is a little bit higher risk, but you're going to get a lot more yield. 1, 1.25%, maybe even 1.5%, and you get paid monthly. And so there are some of those options as well. Now, that goes back to, too, if you want to use some of that money, you sell part of it. Is that money available right away? I know at a TD Ameritrade, we're able to use that money right away. I don't know Fidelity's particular policy. But that goes back to, once again, which broker you use. So thanks for the call, Jake. Always an interesting topic in a time of financial repression where rates are basically pinned at zero. Now let's touch on how to set your asset allocation, stick to it, and reach your particular goals. Because that's, at the end of the day, why we're all here. We all have a specific set of goals. Some are near term, some are medium term, some are long term. Everyone's a little bit different based on what their priorities are about everything else money that's not money related, because money usually feeds into those things in some way, shape, or form. We all have different risk tolerances, etc. Now, one way, and I think the best way to do it, is to work backwards. So you start with the end in mind, and you work back in time to determine what the best plan of action is. And this is a great way, I think, for anything in life, but especially for financial planning. And I say financial planning because it's not just about retirement planning. Retirement is just one particular goal. It could be buying a certain big ticket item, like a car or a boat. It could be sending kids to college. It could be a wedding. It could be a lot of different things. And what this allows you to do is figure out how much you need to save, how much of your current income you should replace, for example, in retirement, how much you can safely spend from your savings each month. And you do this by starting with your end goal. So you ask yourself, what does, for example, a successful retirement look like? Like I said on the earlier in the show, that everyone's different. So goals can be lump sum, right? Buying one big ticket item. Goal could be traveling for X number of years and spending $100,000 a year on travel for 5 years, for example. or it can be a stream of income that you're going to. So the end goal can mean various things when it comes to the amount of money as well as the duration of that money. And then what you do is you prioritize those goals. First is obviously going to be a retirement income, right? Covering food, clothing, utility bills, etc. And these are a lot less flexible. You can cut some expenses here and there, but overall, that's probably priority number one. Number two is safety net. So any big ticket items that you don't want to have to go groveling to the government for, like healthcare, for example, setting up that safety net. And then big ticket items. Like I said, a boat, a car, whatever it is. And then inheritance. Not what you are going to inherit, but what others might inherit. Children, loved ones, maybe a charity. And then long-term care. How much is that a part of your picture as well? So prioritizing these things are important as well. And what you can do is look at the time horizon, figure out how much you need to save for each one, and then invest accordingly. So each goal should have a dedicated investment portfolio. For example, something that's near term. You want to buy a big ticket item in the near term, you're not going to be very aggressive. Whereas long term, if you have 20, 30 years from now, you can be more aggressive, have more equities in your portfolio, in that particular portfolio. And those that are not as crucial, you can be more flexible when you do it, right? When you start to travel, you can be more flexible when that is. That allows you to be more aggressive with your portfolio because you can wait out a little longer when things are maybe a little tougher. So this goals-based approach lets you know exactly the role that each investment in your portfolio plays. All right? And I think that is a great way to think about building out a proper investment strategy. Now, every now and then, we get a caller that focuses on a topic we have already covered, but if the overall question drives to a different point, we go ahead and insert the question in the show. Let's try this one from 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Chris. Thanks for a great show. I've been employing a covered call strategy similar to what it sounds like you do with your dividend growth strategy. I think that's what you call it. You know, basically selling covered calls on stocks I like to own to generate some extra income. One question I had is how you deal with if a stock ends up going in the money. I'm not sure if you roll those calls forward or if the shares get taken away, or the most, I guess, efficient way to deal with that when it comes up. Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, I think he's speaking to Equity Income Plus, which is our cover call strategy. And the answer is it depends. Do you want to hold the position still? Because just because something goes in the money, right? Say, for example, buy a $50 stock. You sell a 55 strike. Maybe you get a dollar a share, right? And the stock goes to 60 bucks. You missed out on four of those $10 appreciation, right? Because you got the five and the one from the premium, but it went all the way to 60, so it went up 10 bucks. And what you can do is you can buy at expiration that call back for, say, it's going to be 5 bucks. It's the intrinsic value at expiration. But you got one, so really it's costing you 4. But you got the price appreciation of the equity. Right, so that's what you do is you could buy it back and then roll it, sell a 60 strike, maybe sell a 65 strike, depending on where you think the stock is going to go. Are you still more bullish on it? Are you still bullish on the overall market? Maybe you allow it to get called away, move it into a different position. Maybe you think 60 is the cap on it. There are a lot of factors to consider. So it's never a hard and fast rule by any means to say, oh, I'm going to roll it or I'm going to let it get called away. Too many factors. It just all depends whether you're bullish, bearish, or neutral. If I'm still bullish, I'm rolling it. I'm rolling it out and up, meaning out to the next month or 2 months out and higher in strike. If I'm neutral, maybe bearish on it, which I'm probably not after it's gone from, say, 50 to 60, you know, then I might let it get called away and move on. I'm Justin Klein. You listen to Invest Talk, and you are not alone. Now, as you might assume, the greatest number of our listeners are here in the United States. However, it is interesting to note that we attract an audience from all around the world. Now, during April of this year, we had 9 downloads from Cambodia. But more recently, during September, we tracked InvestTalk's 1,215 downloads from Germany, 202 from the Czech Republic, 104 from Mexico, all over the world. It's pretty amazing. And Steve and I thank you for downloading the InvestTalk podcast and also telling your friends and family members about our free investing and finance tools over at InvestTalk.com. Please keep those calls, questions, and emails coming. We love them. And I think, last month, we've reached a record, almost 900,000 downloads in the month of September. So we thank you for that. And of course, we welcome you to call our KPP financial offices in Irvine, California. We would love to help you. So give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
This is Invest Talk. Good news, Steve and Justin have recorded another Rapid Fire Hour podcast. They take caller questions at a faster pace, but you still get their unbiased answers. In this special bonus show podcast, you'll hear responses to 34 finance and investment questions. The theme of the program concerns market processes, best practices for investors, and explanations of various terms and investment opportunities. So tell your friends, search Google Play, Spotify, iTunes, or InvestTalk.com for the free August Rapid Fire Hour. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk, made possible by KPP Financial.
Hi, this is Jason from Memphis. I'm calling for MNK Mallinckrodt. They are supposedly heading into bankruptcy, and I'm wondering, when they come out the other side, how do they reissue shares, and whether or not you guys think it's a good buy? I appreciate the help and always love your show. Thanks.
All right. Well, they reissue shares. Great question. This is Mallinckrodt. This is a company that is based, where are they based? In the UK. And they're caught up in a lot of drug litigation, opioid litigation, I believe it is. And they are on the brink of bankruptcy. The reports say they'll file bankruptcy sometimes, probably this month. And his question is, what happens when they come out of bankruptcy? Well, the bankruptcy process, which I'm assuming they're going through Chapter 11, not Chapter 7. Chapter 7 is when you liquidate. Chapter 11 is when you reorganize, you negotiate with the creditors. And what happens is the owners of the equity today get typically nine times out of 10, 95 times out of 100 probably, they get zero. Zip. Well, what happens is the bondholders get equity in the company, typically, as well as oftentimes some sort of debt as well, right? Where they might have, you know, they might get 20 cents on the dollar in debt still, right? Where they cut the debt down from, say down 80%, and then the rest is converted into equity. So there, it can be complicated. Reorganization is very complicated. But when it comes out, it will be new shares of the company that has nothing to do with the old shares. Now, whether that's a good buy, I don't know, because it all depends on how that bankruptcy process goes and what the capital structure looks like. How much debt remains in the business? Who are the owners? Are they strategic, maybe, in some way? So these can be very complicated deals, and it's typically put to market by some investment bank where they're bringing in additional capital to recapitalize the business as well. So there's no way to tell right now whether it's a good buy. This is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. And we have one goal here to help you achieve your own particular version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
You are listening to Invest Talk. Every Friday on the program and the podcast, Steve Peasley shares highlights from the newest edition of the KPP Premium Newsletter. Listen Fridays to Invest Talk. And now, Steve and Justin welcome your calls and questions. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Shaz from Washington, D.C. I was looking at some utility stocks and came across Pinnacle West Capital, PNW, ticker symbol. Looks like a steady stock, and all the numbers look great. So I'm just trying to understand, get an opinion as to, is this the right time to get into it? I'm trying to add some exposure into my portfolio to some utility stocks, and this looks like a really nice stock with good numbers and a decent yield, like 4% upwards dividend yield. I'll listen to the answer on the show. Thank you.
All right, looking at Pinnacle West Capital. This is a utility out of Arizona, electric utility. They serve about 1.3 million customers. This company we used to own for clients, but it was underperforming, so we did cut it. Recently, it started to outperform, which, you know, I'm starting to like it a little bit more. I really, you know, we dug into the business. We like the company overall. But at a certain point, I forget how long ago it was underperforming, and so we switched it out for a different one. And so, you know, I really like the business, though. I like these Sunbelt gateway areas of the country, especially post-COVID, where more people are working from home. You can get more bang for your buck in an area like Arizona versus, say, here in California. And I think those areas of the country, just from an economic standpoint, are going to do better because of work from home, but also taxes, right? The tax income tax situation in many states continued to go up, and Arizona is one that you don't have to worry about that. And so I think you have more baby boomers retiring, et cetera, to places like Arizona. So, you know, I like this name. Certainly remains on our watch list of one of the companies that we like, and we'll be keeping an eye on it. But I like what you're looking at. I like how you're thinking, and the nice 4% yield definitely speaks to me. So definitely up there with one of my top utility names if you're looking to add to that space. Now, before we go, I want to touch on 401ks and a potential change under a potential Biden administration. And for years, Congress has been trying to change the tax structure for 401ks. But it's been easier to add different side benefits like Roth options as well as simple IRAs, etc. Now, the tax benefit, because we have a progressive tax system, actually for 401ks and IRAs as well, benefits wealthier, higher income people than lower income people, right? Because higher income people are taxed at a higher rate than lower income tax people. And so since, so while the plan that Biden has put forward doesn't have a ton of details, what it does do is lay out a proposal that all 401k contributions, regardless of your income level, will have a 26% tax credit. So every dollar that a worker puts into that plan. So for those individuals earning less than $163,000, you're going to get a boost to your tax savings. If you're under $40,000 a year, your tax savings could double, right? Because you're in such a low tax bracket. If you're married and you're earning less than $326,000, you're also going to see a boost to your tax benefit. Now, what reaction would this have? Well, certainly more people, I think, on the lower end are going to save. Maybe less people on the high end, but would also make a Roth option more attractive, right? Because if you're in a high tax bracket, say 40%, and you put money into a 401k, but you're only getting a 26% tax credit, well, why wouldn't you just put money into a Roth instead? Makes it more attractive. Now, there are some other provisions where there'd be a government match type of option, but we'll see how it goes. But certainly something to watch if Biden does win the presidency and implements his 401k plan. Likely will change the way you think about the tax benefits of a 401k. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another InvestTalk program. I'll return on Thursday. In the meantime, please remember to tell your friends and family members they can choose from over 100 archived InvestTalk podcasts for free to download over at investtalk.com, or check them out on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And you can also listen live streaming 4 to 5 every weekday over at investtalk.com. Just hit the listen live button. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. They thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.